This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, that singing sounded beautiful. I really pray that we will all feel like we are channels to be used by our Master. Ministering to your neighbors. Ministry is not an option if we are followers of Christ. He calls us to this. When the Son of Man comes in his shining greatness, he will sit down on his throne of greatness. All the angels will be with him. All the nations of the earth will be gathered before him. He will divide them from each other as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, the goats on his left side. Then the king will say to those on his right side, "Come, you who have been called by my Father, come into the holy nation that has been made ready for you before the world was made. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me water to drink. I was a stranger, and you gave me a room. I had no clothes, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you came to see me." Then those who are right with God will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and give you a room? When did we see you had no clothes and we gave you clothes? And when did we see you sick or in prison and we came to you?" Then the king will say, "For sure I tell you, because you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." Then the king will say to those on his left side, "Go away from me, you are guilty. Go into the fire that lasts forever. It has been made ready for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food to eat. I was thirsty, but you did not give me water to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not give me a room. I had no clothes, but you did not give me clothes. I was sick and in prison, but you did not come to see me." Then they will ask, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger? When did we see you without clothes or sick or in prison and did not care for you?" Then he will say to them, "For sure I tell you, because you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go to the place where they will be punished forever. But those right with God will have life that lasts forever. That's from Matthew 25. Ministry is not an option if we are followers of Christ. Because you did it to the least of these, you have done it to me. Amy Carmichael said, "You can always give without loving, but you can never love without giving." Hi, meet your neighbor. I'm Lois Reed. I'm a mother, a wife, a mother of 5 children, all who are married. We have 16 grandchildren. Our oldest grandson lost his life 5 years ago due to a farm accident. Beside my task of being a wife, a mother, and grandmother, I have worked in Christian education for a number of years. I'm excited to be here exploring ways we can minister to our neighbors. I was to have given this workshop 2 years ago, but due to being involved in a car accident, we were not able to be here. I had some back injury, but I thank God for his healing. I'm able to function well, for which I give God glory. As I share what God has given to me, I do not claim that I have conquered ministering to my neighbors. But perhaps you can be challenged as to what God would have you to do. I remember as a young person contemplating what God would have me do with my life before I was dating and married. I wanted to do something with my life that would be a blessing to others. That is one reason why I was led into Christian education. Hello, meet your neighbor. I'm Sally. I'm married and divorced several times. I have 5 children in foster care. I just got out of prison, and I'm looking to earn a living to support at least some of my children. I'm wondering if you have any extra chairs to spare. Hi there. Meet your neighbor. I'm Phil. I have never been married, but live with Tina. We moved in across the street from you. I am unemployed on disability due to a back injury. My friends like to hang out at my house. Tina needs a ride to work in town. Would you be able to provide a ride for her? Greetings, meet your neighbor. I'm Mrs. Swope. I live on the mansion on the hill. My 2 children attend the academy in town. My husband is CEO of the giant corporation in the city. I'm wondering if you would be interested in buying candy. We are having a fundraiser for our school. Glad to see you. Meet your neighbor. I'm Susan. My husband and I are new to this area. We have noticed you going and coming past our house. We are interested in learning more about you. We noticed you cover your head. We also see you having family times and having fun times playing together in the yard. Could we chat sometime? Which of these persons might be your neighbor? I'm sure many thoughts come to you as you think of your neighbors. Maybe some pleasant thoughts and maybe some sad memories. Who is my neighbor? From Luke 10:25-37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now you go and do the same." These verses about loving God and our neighbor appear at least 8 times in the Bible. Ministry is not an option if we are followers of Christ. We are ready to help. Jesus expands the definition of neighbor and informs us that it is anyone who is in need nearby. The Samaritan meets the physical, material, financial, and emotional needs of the man in his path. Our neighbors are in our path on a daily basis. What investment does God ask me to make in my neighbor? As I reflect on who is my neighbor, I had to think about a group that may be pushed aside or not cared for, folks that we have neglected, and yes, even been unkind to. Who are these people? They often live in the same house. They are our family. children. They get put on the back burner so we can minister to our neighbors. I do believe that my first obligation as a woman is to care for those who are in my family. We recently attended the funeral of my 90-year-old uncle. As I met my aunt, his wife, she told me she prayed that she would live longer than her husband. He had dementia and got confused. She has a clear mind, but suffers from lack of oxygen. For many years, she has had oxygen with her most of the time. She suffers in a more physical way with pain. I was blessed to hear her testimony of ministry to her neighbor, her husband. She said, "Now I'm ready to go." We can be a blessing to others as we train and teach our children, and they in turn will reach out to others. Children need to be taught to show love and kindness. As a mother and a teacher, I have seen children treat others, older folks and younger folks, and each other unkindly. They need to be taught, but it must also be modeled for them. What words do they hear us say to folks about behind their backs, to our church family, or about our leaders, about those in our neighborhood? We talk so nicely to the people on the phone and those who come to our door, or the ones we meet in the grocery store. But what about our children? Do we speak with loving and caring words? Do we give them time, love them, care for their needs, do extra special things for them? Yes, I know we take care of them, but do we really take time, have patience with them, love them enough that they may feel it, or care with them with compassion? Our children will remember the relationships we build with them much more than if our house is in tip-top shape, the windows washed, etc. You fill in the blank. We have lived much of our married life in an urban area with neighbors all around us, so close that we could hear others when they are outside in their yards. When we had preschool and elementary children in our homes, our children would play kickball in the backyard with Frank. That drew neighbor children into our yard who wanted to play also. Just recently, 30 years later, I met one of those old neighbor boys, and he wondered how our children are doing. Sometimes we think we are doing a little thing when it goes with a person for years to come. Another incident I recall from years ago when our children were in elementary school. We have two children who are hearing impaired, so they had friends through school that also were hearing impaired. One of these children was the age of our daughter, and they lived in our town. Many times we would pick up this girl and some of her family, and they would go with us to Sunday school. We also reached out to the family in other ways. The father was not able to hold a job because he messed up his life as an alcoholic. So we did share food with them, and later we had to ask our Sunday school class to share too, because sometimes we become overwhelmed in ministry, and we need to ask others to help us who may not be aware of the situation. We had numerous hospitalizations with some of our children when they were babies through age four, from days at a time to several weeks in the hospital. Most of the time, I stayed with the child in the hospital. This was a time to reach out to other mothers staying with their child, to be able to speak into their lives when they needed someone to care. As I pondered what impacted me growing up in my home, I thought of several instances that I recall from about 60 years ago, thinking of ministry to our neighbors. I grew up on a dairy farm. My parents were somewhat involved in a mission church in the city where my uncle and aunt lived. So, at times, we would have boys from the city wanting to spend some time in the country. One particular Sunday morning, while a young man who was with us for a few days, he was waiting for his ride back to the city. His bride never showed up, and we had gone to worship at a church closer to our home. So this young man decided to take my dad's pickup for a ride. He ended up having an accident with it. The truck was drivable, and the young man was fine. I do not remember my dad's reaction to this incident, but not all of our reaching out to others do we feel honored. Also, as a child, I remember our local fellowship reaching out to a poor family in our community. Much help was given to this family of 12 children living in a very small cabin-type house. Men worked on the dwelling to make it more livable, and the ladies helped out with food and clothing. For a while, some of the family would come to our fellowship, but it seemed like they wanted the loaves and the fishes. Soon they went their own way. I trust that even though they chose a different path, they captured some of the love that was given to them in their hearts. This brings up the question about helping those who ask for money as we travel and stop for gas or food. Sometimes people are along the street or knock on our door and want a handout. What is our response? How should we respond? What do you do? I heard of someone who carries gift cards for a restaurant, like at McDonald's. They are asked for money, they may share a gift card with them, or perhaps pump gas into their vehicle if they need money for gas. Some of our family members have been involved in serving at a girls' camp or a boys' camp. Girls or boys from dysfunctional homes come to live in a woodsy, outdoor setting, and where it's very structured. They keep their camp clean, and they help build their tents when needed. The chief is to help the campers solve their problems getting along with each other by means of guided conversation and questions with the group to lead them to make their own right decision. Sometimes mealtime is missed if they cannot solve the issue. What a great way to minister to our neighbors. Do they all profit from this very deliberate guidance? No, but they have been shown a different way. We also had children serve in volunteer service, working at a mission in the city. Another one helped pass out bread in Asia. One who taught deaf children in Belize at a school for the deaf. One visited a Central American country with water, a short-term missionary opportunity. It wasn't always easy to give the Lord a blessing. However, it was a time of growth for all of us as they ministered to neighbors. Ministering is not an option if we are followers of Christ. We are to serve others. How do we minister to our neighbor? We will explore three areas: time, love, and care. I use the acronym TLC for this discussion. It stands for tender, loving care, so to help us to remember these three words. The first one we want to talk about is time, for T. This to me is taking time to do a task for someone, to be available. You can't love your neighbor well if you live an overscheduled life. The key is leaving margin or time in your life so when the opportunity to love your neighbor arises, you're available. If every minute of every day is filled to the max, then somehow you do not have the freedom to give time to a neighbor who needs some of your time. You will be like the priest or the temple assistant who walks by on the other side of the road. The priest or the temple assistant should have had time to minister to the hurt, even though not of the same ethnic background. Richard Swanson, in his book about margins, speaks to this thought, and I quote, "Margin exists for the needs of the kingdom, for the service of one another, for the building of community. It exists just as we exist for the purpose of being available to God. Being useful to God and other people is a large part of what life is meant to be. And yet, is 9/10 availability. When others need help, they don't need it 2 days from now. Dietrich Bonhoeffer explains, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petition. If it is part of the discipline of humility that we must not spare our hand where it can perform the service, and that we do not assume our schedule is our own to manage, but allow it to be arranged by God. We need to plan for time to be available. Christ's teaching and his healing, his serving and his loving was usually spontaneous. Overloaded schedules are not the way to walk in his steps. I thought of the Ken Miller saga that continues as I speak. This is a current story of how to love your neighbor. Ken's help in the life of Lisa Miller is taking lots of time. Ken is paying with time for ministry to his neighbor. What are ways you give time to minister to your neighbor? Maybe you could take someone to the doctor or go visiting in a nursing home or hospital. Listen to somebody in need. Maybe you can mow your yard or care for their children. Mow your neighbor's yard or care for their children. Ministering it to others is not an option if we are followers of Christ. It takes time. Let's look at the letter L for love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. It listens to our neighbor when we meet in the store. It makes a cake or bakes cookies to share. Helps to plant flowers in our neighbor's flower beds or weed their flower beds. Love is kind. We can share kind words to a hurting child. Smile to the person on the sidewalk or in the store and say hello. Offer to help an older person put groceries in their car. Donate blood at a blood bank. Love protects. It does not share information shared with you confidentially. It does not gossip. Helps a pregnant woman struggling to manage her children at a park. Opens a garage door to protect school children waiting for the bus when it's raining, giving them a dry spot till the bus comes. Love trusts. Some early pioneers trusted the Indians. And I thought of the unbarred door poem, where the door left unlocked protects the settler from the hostile Indians. The Indians realized that the settler trusted them, and the Indians left the settler and his family unharmed, although many were killed by the hostile Indians. Love trusts. Thinks the best of people. It gives folks the benefit of a doubt. Love hopes. It speaks words of hope to a down and out person. It takes time for the weary and encourages them. It may write a circle letter for parents of deaf children or children with another certain issue, like a support group. Love perseveres. Life is difficult, but God is with us in our struggle, and I will stand by you as you struggle. An older mother stands alongside a younger mother and gives her courage to go on. I made it. You can also. Love never fails. When we look as the Pharisees and companies had succeeded in killing Jesus, it was unfailing love that made him our risen Savior. Many can give experiences where at the time seemed like love failed, but in the end was victorious. Dirk Willem was captured and imprisoned in his hometown of Asperen in the Netherlands. Knowing that his fate would be death if he remained in prison, Dirk made a rope of strips of cloth and slid down over the prison wall. A guard chased him. Frost had covered a nearby pond with a thin layer of ice. Dirk risked a dash across it. He made it to safety, but the ice broke under his pursuer, who cried for help. Dirk believed the scripture that a man should help his enemies. He immediately turned back and pulled the floundering man from the frigid water. Dirk loved his enemy. In gratitude for his life, the man would have left Dirk escape. But the chief magistrate standing on the shore sternly ordered him to arrest Dirk and bring him back, reminding him of the oath that he had sworn as an officer of the peace. Back to prison went Dirk. He was condemned to death for being rebaptized, allowing secret church services in his home, and letting others be baptized there. Dirk was burned to death on this day, May 16, 1569. What do you think are ways to show love to your neighbor? Maybe listen to their hurts, have compassion, show snow for older folks. Ministering to others is not an option if we are followers of Christ. We must show love. Now we'll look at C for care. Care can be given to our physical needs, emotional and spiritual needs. The biblical account of Dorcas shows care for her physical needs. She was raised to life. A woman who was a follower lived in the city of Joppa. Her name was Tabitha or Dorcas. She did many good things and many acts of kindness. One day, she became sick and died. The followers heard that Peter was at Lydda and sent two men to ask him to come at once. Peter went back with them. When he came, they took him to the room. All the women whose husbands had died were standing there crying. They were showing the clothes Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter made them all leave the room, and he got up on his knees and prayed. He turned to her body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes and looked at Peter and sat up. He took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then he called in the faithful followers and the women whose husbands had died. He gave her to them, a living person. That was caring for a physical need. Let's look at emotional needs. Basic feeling of love, fear, anger, sorrow, anxiety, frustration, depression. To meet this kind of need, it involves understanding, empathy, and support of one person or another. Weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. Romans 12:15. Many times, listening is a good tool for those who are needing emotional care. There are many different types of emotional needs we as human beings need. One is security, a safe place and an environment which allows us to develop fully. Mothers have a special call to attach to our children so they feel secure. Another way, you could put your hand on the shoulder of a resident in a nursing home or a friend you meet somewhere. You can honor and make guests feel welcome in your home or wherever you meet folks. Another need is a need for significance. We need to feel valued. Praise a job well done by a child, a worker, a student. Seek out those who do not feel they are worthy because of past issues in their lives. Another thing we need is a sense of belonging, being emotionally connected to others, being part of a family or a community. Reach out to those around you as you worship in your fellowship, as you walk in the park. Be especially kind with deeds and words. Be especially willing to help those who are in the household of faith. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be ready to practice hospitality. Romans 12:13. Life is never 100% perfect, but as long as our main essential needs of security, significance, and a sense of belonging are met, we can function and do the work of ministering to our neighbors. And spiritual needs, we need to follow the prompting by the Holy Spirit to minister truth of God's word. And the story of Philip comes to my mind, where the angel told Philip to go south, and as he went south, he saw a man riding in a wagon, and he was told to go get in it. And he did that, and he said, Philip asked this man, the Ethiopian, can you understand what you're reading? And he said, how could he unless somebody teaches him? So Philip came up and sat beside him. He said, who is the early preacher talking about, himself or someone else? So Philip started with this part of the Holy Writings and preached the good news of Jesus to him. And later we know that he saw some water, and then he was baptized, and then Philip went his way and the Ethiopian went his way. That story is found in Acts 8. There are organizations that hear about folks that are all over the world. They have that have difficult situations due to war, famine, flood, earthquakes, or tornadoes. One such group comes to my mind is Christian Aid. They allow us who are not able to personally go to aid with supplies, and we can give them money so they can buy supplies and send other people. I am glad we can feel a part of ministering through others in this way. Some other organizations are helpful, especially with the refugees, like Plain Compassion or Cayman Channels. There's some ministries in Greece. And just walk through the halls here and you'll see many different other displays of people who are reaching out across the world. What are ways we can care? Maybe pray when you hear or see a fire truck or see an ambulance. Have an interest in those who are handicapped or on a wheelchair or from another ethnic group. Be intentional. Leave your comfort zone to help others. Meals on Wheels. Volunteer at a nursing home or hospital. Ministering to others is not an option if we are followers of Christ. Caring is a part of reaching out. So let us find ways we can use TLC when we minister to our neighbors. I did not mention much about prayer in this presentation, but I believe prayer is of utmost importance. Each day should be bathed in prayer. We should be praying constantly as we go through our day. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As we live each day, He makes us aware of situations and ways to reach out. One day, an immigrant, Maria, from an African country, was shopping in a Walmart with her two children, a two-year-old and a baby. Her mission was to buy some groceries for her family, but she did not know English very well. As she shopped, two ladies on their way to a Bible study noticed she was struggling to find what she needed. They needed some snack foods for their Bible study group, and they hurried along, not stopping to help. Next, some business ladies who were employees of a company to help the store see how sales could be improved came by. They saw the woman, Maria, but they had more important things to do. Finally, as Maria was feeling exasperated, a young mother with two school-aged children came by. She noticed the predicament. Despite the language barrier, she came to help her by signs and pointing. After Maria got what she wanted, what she needed, they proceeded to the checkout. Maria paid the bill and slipped a $20 bill into her hand. Then she and her children went back to get the items they needed for the school project. Ministering to others is not an option if we are followers of Christ. It is a way of life. I also thought of Men of Simon's song, True Evangelical Faith. I will not have time for that right now. Here's a book, Keep Your Love On, that talks about loving. This is encouragement, the key to caring, and bold love. So there are resources that you can use to help you to grow and understand. I want you to understand that I have not always done the things I was telling you to do. But pray for me, pray for each other as we take opportunity to minister to our neighbors. Ministry is not an option if we are followers of Christ.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.